And our phone lines, they are open for you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, joined this week by CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, they'd love to chat with you. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call this morning. Number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Going to be talking this week about cybersecurity, but any type of retirement-related question, the phone lines are available to you to get on the air and get your question answered. Again, telephone number, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Hope you had a chance to check out the website, KlossFinancial.com. If you haven't been there yet, head on over today. It's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. While you're there, you can learn more about Kloss Financial. You can learn about Eric. You can learn about CJ and everyone at Kloss Financial. You can also learn about their separate divisions, how they can help you, or if you're an employer. And learn all about that available at KlossFinancial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. That's 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. And joining us this morning are CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Great to chat with you. Eric, how have you been? Did you get a little time off? Did you take a vacation?
I did. I was off last week, so I'm happy to be back on the show.
Great to have both of you along, and welcome back. And we've got a conversation about cybersecurity. And oh my goodness, I was going over the show notes the other day, and as a tech nerd, I was shocked by some of the stuff out there. So you're definitely going to want to pay very close attention to this week's program for a couple of reasons. As mentioned, great opportunity to learn some stuff and protect yourself. Also, speaking of great opportunities and why you want to pay close attention, each and every week we do the Kloss Quiz Question Week. This week, no exception. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Amazon. I'll tell you a bit later on in the program how you can win with the Kloss Quiz Question Week. Little tip, it benefits you for a couple of reasons, as mentioned, to listen closely to the program, but also give you a little leg up on everybody else, because most of the times, question and answer with Kloss Quiz Question Week come up during the program. And before we start our conversation this week about cybersecurity, let's actually look back to last week and get the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week question and answer there as well, Eric.
Yes, thank you to everybody for listening, and special congratulations to Connor from Madison, who was our winner last week. And the question was, it was a true or false, many small business owners are looking at selling their business to fund their retirement. And the answer to that was true. So congratulations, Connor.
Great work, Connor. Really good program last week. Don't forget, you can always listen back at KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. So we're talking cybersecurity this week. And of course, given that Kloss Financial, you guys are in the retirement planning and investment management business. That's what your firm does. Now, typically we talk about things directly related to that industry and that specialty, like investment, Social Security, Medicare, and so on. Today's show, though, we're going to be kind of going a little bit of a different direction, discussing cybersecurity and how to protect your personal finances against digital threats. Let's kind of break down, CJ, what we need to know here.
Yeah, that's right, Sean. So typically during Money in Motion, we discuss topics native to our industry, like you mentioned, investments, insurance, estate planning, taxes, banking, cash flow, so on and so forth. And certainly we're not moving away from that as a broad theme. However, there has been so much of an uptick recently over the past few years in digital threats that we decided to dedicate an entire show to the topic. So as we approach this topic, we do want to remind everyone that we are not cybersecurity experts, and we do not offer any cybersecurity services for a fee at Kloss Financial. We do, however, manage a lot of clients' private information that requires us to invest heavily in our own cybersecurity measures. Furthermore, we often get a front row seat to some pretty terrible behaviors around cybersecurity, which has led us to recognize our need for better education to our clients and then, of course, to the public through this radio show about protecting your personal finances from digital threats.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. And great work by CJ. They're kind of laying out what we're going to talk about. So, CJ, to start, what are some of those common threats that people should be aware of when it comes to their finances?
Yeah, good question. So the most common digital threats are, and these terms are going to be odd, but don't worry, we'll break them down. The most common digital threats are phishing, smishing, vishing, okay, malware, and identity theft. So let's dig into these just a little bit so that you better understand what each of those, kind of means. And I encourage you, as I'm going through each of these, think to yourself, have I experienced this? Because I'm willing to bet that if you kind of pay attention during the show and we go through this, you're going to go, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh yeah, I've seen that before. And some of you may even say, yeah, I clicked on that before, or I responded to that before. So the first one is phishing. This is a type of cybercrime where attackers try to trick you into revealing some sensitive information like usernames, passwords, and credit card details, often by disguising themselves as a trustworthy entity in an electronic communication. They might send you an email that looks like it's coming from your bank or a popular online service or even a government agency containing a link to a fake website that looks legitimate. Once you enter your details, the attacker captures your information. I'll give you two examples simply. I've gotten one from what looked like my bank, and I've gotten one from what looked like Amazon. Now, I've gone through pretty extensive training on not clicking on anything and navigating to websites. In a couple of those cases, I could immediately tell because the logo was a little odd, and they were asking me to reset my password, which typically they don't send you an email to do that unless it, and anyway. So I was able to figure it out, but I will tell you, it's getting harder and harder. And so we're not going to go into all the solutions for this, but I can just tell you, phishing, so again, sending out all these emails from sources that you and I might think are credible, think Social Security Administration, right? Or think the IRS, all of us would want to respond to emails from those entities, but often they're actually not from those entities, they're from cyber attackers. The next kind is smishing, S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. This is similar to phishing, but uses SMS text messages. You might receive a text message claiming there's an issue with your bank account, a package being delivered, or a prize you've won, urging you to click on a link or call a number. And of course, these links or the phone number leads to a malicious website or a malicious, you know, person on the other end of the line to either download malware or to obtain your social security number and date of birth. I've gotten two of these just in the last week, FYI. So this is not uncommon at all. Text messages that come through like, your bank account has been hacked. Click here to reset your password. It's just amazing. Terribly amazing, but amazing. The next type is vishing. This is voice phishing, where attackers are using phone calls to trick you. They might impersonate bank representatives, tech support, or government officials like the IRS. They'll use social engineering tactics to create a sense of urgency or fear. By the way, social engineering would be, hey, grandma, this is your grandson, Jimmy. And you go, what do you mean social? And like, how would they know that? Well, listen, our world is so social, somebody can just go online, look you up on Facebook, see that your grandson is Jimmy, and then call and impersonate Jimmy and say they're in Ghana in jail. And you need to wire $10,000 to this bank account right now. So again, really tricky stuff that you have to watch out for. The next one is malware. This is a broad term for malicious software. It's designed to damage, disable, or gain unauthorized access to computer systems. Examples include viruses, worms, trojans, spyware, and ransomware. If malware gets onto your device, it can record keystrokes, including passwords. It can steal files, take control of your computer, or even encrypt your data and demand a ransom for its release. So this often comes in the form of an email comes in, you click on it, it downloads a program, and then your computer is infected. And finally, the one that people hear about the most, although it's actually these other ones that I just mentioned are becoming more common, but the one we've heard historically about the most is identity theft. This occurs when someone steals your personal identifying information, like your name, social security number, date of birth, or financial account numbers, and they use it to commit fraud. This could involve opening new credit cards in your name, filing fraudulent tax returns, making unauthorized purchases, or even getting medical services. So there's the five most common types of cybersecurity that we are running into. And again, back to what I said before, I'm betting if you are listening closely right now as a listener, you have touched personally at least one, if not two, three, or four of those And so just continue paying attention because we're going to talk about different ways to mitigate that risk.
Cute and funny names, but really serious stuff, that is for sure. As we talked this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. So, Eric, why is personal data such a big target for cyber criminals?
Yeah, Sean, financial data is a prime target for cyber criminals. And I think the most obvious reason is probably just that financial information is often directly related to our money. Mm-hmm. So our bank accounts, our investment accounts, credit cards, all these things allow criminals to steal funds, make unauthorized purchases, or even open new lines of credit for their own benefit. And for this reason, there's a really high value on the dark web for stolen financial credentials, personal data, and they can be sold to other criminals who then use them for various fraudulent activities. All this stuff just makes it a really lucrative business for the initial attackers. The other piece of this is all of our devices, all of our accounts with different stores and our financial lives, they are all interconnected. And a breach in one service, like an online shopping site where you've saved your credit card information, I think we can all say we're probably guilty of this. Mm-hmm. That can potentially expose information that could be used to access all sorts of other financial accounts, right? So I think probably at least every other week, maybe once a month if it's a good month, I'm getting some sort of email from a credit monitoring service saying your information was in a data breach, right? And you just pretty much become immune to it after a while because there's nothing, it's like, well, what am I going to do? Change my password every week? So, even beyond your financial accounts, if your email's compromised, all these things can be used to find ways to access your personal financial information. And finally, this is unfortunately one of the biggest risks is ourselves. So the human element. Despite technology advancements and security, we remain a significant vulnerability to our own financial security. CJ was talking about phishing, smishing, and vishing. Mm-hmm. these words are they sound crazy, but like you said, they're dangerous, Sean. Just curiosity and fear. Attackers know all of these things are ways that they can gain access to us and take advantage of our vulnerabilities. So, just a lapse in judgment can lead to a lot of information getting shared.
It's pretty it's scary stuff as you see some of these techniques, and I always think with like criminals, like if only they would just apply themselves to like the legitimate world, they'd probably be wildly successful, because the amount of work and effort and cunning that they put into this stuff it's pretty amazing. And definitely
Sean, I thought the exact same thing. Yeah. I go, my gosh, you're brilliant. Yeah. Just apply this to a reasonable, non-malicious trade, and you could be wildly successful. Yeah. But yeah, I don't get it.
It's a scary world out there, and you want to protect yourself. And really great information this week. This is like many of the shows that we do here on Money in Motion, one you want to share with folks as well. You can always listen back to the podcast. Share it from klossfinancial.com, that website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. They're telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with CJ and Eric. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking about scams out there this morning with our retirement and specifically cybersecurity with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Really important topic. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. So we left off talking about some of those reasons why financial targets are prime for cyber criminals. Are there specific red flags that folks should be looking for, Eric?
Yeah, we're going to talk about just a few of them here, just things to be aware of when you're doing anything online or over the phone. The first one you want to be very, very leery of is urgent language. So scammers will often try to create a sense of panic or urgency so they can bypass your critical thinking. Phrases like, your account will be suspended immediately, or action required within 24 hours, your funds are at risk. All of these things are just meant to make us not stop and think and just, you know, respond to whatever the individual is asking for. So just slow down, especially when it has to do with your bank or your investment accounts. Often you're not going to get a call from those institutions saying we need to move immediately, like yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. They're generally going to be much more measured, and so watch out for that urgent language. The other thing you want to look out for, especially in emails and text messages, are going to be suspicious links. So always be wary of those. Before clicking, hover your mouse over the link if you're on a desktop computer, or hold your finger down on it on a mobile device, and that'll show you the actual URL where it's going to take you if you click on it. And if that doesn't match a legitimate website of the organization that it actually claims to be from, so, you know, if you're, say your bank is UW Credit Union, if it's not taking you to uwcu.org/something, it's almost certainly a scam. Okay, so even if it looks similar to something you've received from them before, small misspellings or even extra characters here and there, those can be giveaways as well. But just be really cautious of links that you're sent unprompted. And finally, unsolicited requests for personal information. Okay, so legitimate organizations, especially your bank, government agencies, they will rarely, if ever, ask you to provide sensitive information like your full social security number, your password, or your PINs via email, text, or just a random phone call. So if you receive a request like that, that is a major red flag. I feel like every time I get a text message from a website I'm trying to sign into, it says, do not give anyone this code. So heed those warnings, and if you're unsure, always contact the organization directly using a phone number from their verified website.
Really scary stuff. And CJ, let's talk a little bit then about the prevention side of this. What should folks know? And what, more importantly, what should you be doing when it comes to protecting your money from these crooks?
Yeah, good question, Sean. So we don't want to focus on the scary stuff for too long. Otherwise, people will, you know, dig a hole and bury themselves. So let's talk about some things you can do to safeguard your finances digitally, because there are quite a few things you can do to safeguard yourself. Number one would just be around strong, unique passwords. So a strong password is long. It's at least 12 to 16 characters. It uses a mix of uppercase and lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. The unique part is equally critical. Never reuse passwords across different accounts. If one service you use suffers a data breach and you've used the same password elsewhere, criminals can use that leaked credential information and get into other websites. So again, strong, unique passwords. Now, here's what somebody's going to say to me, and I know this because I'm going through this with my mother right now. I wish if she was listening, she could call in and testify. But CJ, I won't remember them, right? I need to use one of three because then I can remember them. Well, that's where secure encrypted password storage managers comes in. So this is an indispensable resource. These are tools like LastPass or 1Password or Bitwarden or even built-in browser password managers, although the built-in browser password managers are generally a little less secure. But the idea of this is to say, no, we get it. We totally get it. That ultimately, if you're going to have unique usernames and passwords for every single website, there's no way your brain can store that information, and we don't expect it to. What we would say is get a secure, encrypted password storage manager like the ones I mentioned before, LastPass, 1Password, Bitwarden, and save those unique passwords on there. Not to mention, listen, everybody, good websites will require you to reset your credentials, aka your username or password, every few months because they want to reduce the likelihood of a data breach where suddenly they get current usernames and passwords ripped down from their website. So I cannot encourage you enough. Strong, unique passwords, number one, but number two, purchase one of these secure encrypted password storage managers so that you're not so anxious about remembering all of them. Now, the next topic or the next kind of way to safeguard yourself would be around multi-factor authentication. This is huge. Multi-factor authentication is also sometimes called 2FA or two-factor authentication. It adds an extra layer of security beyond just a password. It typically requires you to provide two or more verification factors to gain access to an account. So even if a criminal somehow gets your password, they still can't log in without this second factor. So it's important to have, think of it this way. If I have a key or a lock and somehow a criminal gains access to that key or that lock on my door, that's scary, right? They pop open the lock and they walk into the house and they steal my valuable stuff. But what if I had two locks or two keys? What's the probability that that same person gets access to both of those access points? Well, guys, for the listeners, it goes down dramatically. And it's not just cutting in half your risk. It actually cuts your risk down by like 80%. So the 2FA, the two-factor authentication, also known as multi-factor authentication, is a huge way to reduce that risk. Now, this often comes in the form of like you getting a texted code. So you put in your username and password, and then you get a text message on your phone. It can also come into things like physical tokens. So they'll have like a physical item that generates a new numeric number or that you have to enter in, or a smartphone app that again is generating new numbers. So there's also like biometric two-factor authentications like fingerprint scans or facial scans. I know Apple iPhones and different devices have that function. But the idea of this is that when you add in a second layer of security, it just dramatically reduces the risk. And I know, again, I've sat with my mother recently on this. I know this can be an area of frustration because people go, my goodness, if I didn't have to use my username and password, now I've got to have this cell phone sitting around all the time for the text messages. Well, it's either that or your stuff gets stolen, right? Like kind of pick your poison. And I get it that it's frustrating. I totally empathize, but we've all got to get over that because this is just an extra layer of security to make sure that your critical information is not getting taken by hackers.
What about software there, CJ?
Yeah, so software developers constantly find and fix security vulnerabilities. So this would be bugs or weaknesses in their operating systems. Think, you know, Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Linux. And then web browsers do the same, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and these different applications. So one thing you should be doing is updating these apps. Another thing that I often run into, both with my folks and then with clients that we know, is they'll say, I never do any of those app upgrades or the Windows upgrades or the iPhone upgrades because, you know, little things move around and I don't know where they are. And on the one hand, I get it. I'm there with you. Like, it's frustrating when a new update is coming out constantly and things look different and function differently. But what you're missing is it's not just about the look and the functionality. Behind the scenes, they're adding in patches, security patches from threats that they've seen. So I would encourage you, keep your operating systems, your programs, your apps, keep them up to date. If there is an update to be downloaded, download it.
Great advice. Great program. As always, don't forget you can listen back to today's show. Also a great one you want to share is head on over to KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. You can subscribe, listen right online. Their telephone number at Klaas Financial, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. More of Money in Motion with Klaas Financial comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Klaas Financial, CJ Klaas and Eric Schwartz, talking this week about cybersecurity. And just got a couple of minutes in the program. I do want to make sure we talk about things like, you know, I know a lot of folks do like online banking and shopping, other things from your phone. Are there some things, Eric, that folks should be thinking about when it comes to security of those devices?
Yeah, Sean, that's a really good point and a good question as well. So just a few considerations in this area. Number one, when you are accessing your banking information, use the official banking apps only. Okay, so when you're on your smartphone and you're wanting to access your checking account balance, savings account, or make a transfer or whatever it might be, make sure you're using the most up-to-date application because this is going to have the most robust security features. It's going to undergo regular security audits, and it's designed to protect your data. Okay, and if you're trying to access your bank information through like a mobile browser, so like you just pull up Safari or Chrome on your phone, that's not as secure or up to date as the app in many cases, and it can expose you to risks. Beyond that, unofficial apps might be malicious fakes that are designed to steal your login credentials, while outdated browsers or insecure browser settings could really just make you vulnerable to phishing. So make sure you're using the official banking apps and they are up to date. The second one here is avoid public Wi-Fi when you're doing sensitive transactions. So public Wi-Fi networks like those in coffee shop, airport, hotel, they're very convenient and nice to have, but they are often unsecured or they have weak security protocols. We always get this warning, I think, too, when you log onto a public website, I feel like I do, where it says, you know, be careful what you share on this network. This means that the data that's transmitted over these networks can be easily intercepted by malicious actors who might be quote-unquote eavesdropping on the network. So when you perform sensitive transactions like logging into your bank account or making online purchases or even just checking your investment portfolio, your login credentials and your financial details can be vulnerable if you are on a public Wi-Fi. It's best to use your cellular data connection for these activities, and that will provide you with a more secure and private connection. If you do need to use a public Wi-Fi source, consider using a reputable virtual private network or a VPN. That's going to add some additional encryption to your internet traffic. Finally, keep your phone locked and encrypted. Okay, so this refers to securing your physical smartphone device. When we say locked, we mean make sure that you have a strong password, PIN, fingerprint, or facial recognition to keep your phone secure and prevent unauthorized access if it is lost or stolen. When we say encrypted, we mean that most modern smartphones are often built with in-device encryption. And when your phone is encrypted, all the data on it, like your photos, your messages, your financial application data, it's scrambled and unreadable without the correct decryption key, okay, which is all tied into your lock screen password and PIN. So if your phone falls into the wrong hands, if it's locked and it's encrypted, it acts as a much stronger barrier against data theft. And without that protection, someone could potentially access your financial applications, your personal information, or any other sensitive data that's stored on your device. So ensure that you have these features enabled and configured correctly.
A lot of great information this week. Don't forget, you can listen back to this on previous shows' podcasts, all at klossfinancial.com. That's also a great place to get to know the team at Kloss Financial. Again, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number as well. It's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Amazon. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false, multi-factor authentication, which is sometimes called two-factor authentication, is like having two locks on your door instead of only one. True or false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer, win this week's prize. Again, the $25 gift card to Amazon. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. CJ, Eric, it's always informative, always great chatting with both of you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Take care, guys. Dr. Greer comes your way next year on 1310 WIBA.